Hello, everyone. Very warm welcome to Press TV's Top 5. Now, Turkish president vows to, quote, chop off the heads of traitors on the first anniversary of the 2016 failed coup.
But it's a fact that without crushing the pawns, we cannot get to the other players in the chessboard, and we cannot get to the king. For this reason, we will decapitate these betrayers first.
Recep Tayyip Erdogan said that he'll sign any bill passed by parliament to restore capital punishment. He once again accused U.S.-backed opposition figure Fethullah Gulen of having orchestrated the July 15 coup. Turkish president defended his decision to launch a heavy-handed crackdown on alleged Gulen supporters after the event. Erdogan said that 111,000 people were sacked since then and many arrested. He stressed the suspects being tried on suspicion of involvement in that coup need to wear uniforms like Guantanamo Bay prisoners. Erdogan speaking to tens of thousands of his supporters at a rally in Istanbul, marking 1 year since the attempted putsch in which 250 people lost their lives. Now joining us from the story out of Washington is Mr. James Jotros, former U.S. Senate foreign policy analyst. Hello, Mr. Jotros. Thanks for joining us on the program, sir.
Now, thank you.
Many people would say that the rhetoric that Erdogan is using and the post-coup purge that we've seen over the last year has more so divided the nation than unified it. Your thoughts?
I think that's true, but I think that simply reflects the divisions that exist inside Turkish society. And I think Mr. Erdogan is taking a very good advantage of that in order to build his personal power and to establish an authoritarian system. Let's not overestimate the extent to which, even in its heyday, Kemalism was particularly democratic. But even now, we're far away from what semblance of democracy even existed under Kemalism.
But, you know, Turkey had come a long way in the last 100 years trying to become more democratic, trying to be more of a democratic-style society. And people feel that Erdogan has taken the country back decades. And, you know, I mean, there is the threats you mentioned. There's the PKK. There's been Daesh, attacks throughout the country. There are some, extreme supporters of maybe people that are support outside the country. Maybe Fethullah Gulen, he calls them the Fatah movement. But then he's classifying and labeling everyone. I mean, you know very well, journalists. I mean, we have people from other parties. He calls them loyalists to, traitor loyalists and terrorist lovers. And he's accused everyone. He's labeling everyone that's a part of dissent in the country as a traitor and an enemy of the state. How is that conducive to trying to bring the country together?
Well, if you bring it together under a personal tyranny, that's one way of uniting a country. It's not necessarily a nice way, and I think that's essentially what his Mr. Erdogan's goal is. Let's keep in mind that here, after a year after the attempted coup or whatever exactly happened, we really don't know who was behind it. Some people still think it was a false flag by Erdogan to justify this kind of crackdown. Maybe Gulen had something to do with it. Maybe he didn't. Maybe some outside powers had something to do with it. Remember too that Mr. Erdogan has so badly mismanaged Turkey's foreign policy in recent years, particularly with regard to Syria, that there's an element to which he has destabilized his own country by allowing all these various terrorist groups that he's been supporting in Syria to set up shop in Turkey to Turkey's detriment. Let's remember the terrorist attacks that have been happening in Turkey, which he then, of course, blames on the PKK or other opponents. So he's created a real mess, but I think there's one constant, and that is how much can he use everything that happens as a pretext to seize more personal power.
And he's done that very well, and he had that referendum a couple of months ago, as you very well remember, that gave him extended his presidential powers. He could possibly now stay in office, I'm pretty sure you well know, through 2029. Do you see that happening?
I think there's a very good chance he will do that. And frankly, I don't think the letter of the law in Turkey really matters very much anymore, that increasingly Turkey's internal governance and its foreign policy will simply be a function of whatever Mr. Erdogan's opinion may happen to be on a given day.
And many people agree with you. Thank you, Mr. James Jotros, for joining us, former U.S. Senate foreign policy analyst, joining us out of Washington.